As always, it's so good to be with you. And with all of the attention now that's being drawn to the high levels of racism that exist in our world today and our country, I think it would be a good idea for us to reflect upon how all of us here can work together to create a more just society. And we'll do so by exploring today's readings and reference to an ointment in the Holy Scriptures known as the Balm of Gilead. Have you ever heard of it? Even today, the Balm of Gilead is known for its herbal medicinal properties, and it is recognized as a universal symbol for healing. The first mention of the healing Balm of Gilead is found in the 37th chapter of Genesis, as a caravan is transporting large quantities of it to Egypt. This just happens to also be the caravan that is stopped by Jacob's sons along the way, who sell their beaten brother Joseph into slavery for 8 ounces of silver. As I thought about that, I began to wonder. I just wondered, since the caravan had lots of the healing balm of Gilead, I wonder if anybody ever considered opening up, taking out one of those jars and applying some to Joseph's bruises, like we read in the story of the Good Samaritan, who came along and he applied healing balm, it says, and ointment, and took care of his wounds, as Jesus said. So pass on the word, you might call it, as they're going camel to camel. Does anybody have any spare balm of Gilead that they can share with this new Egyptian slave, who, by matter of fact, will later become the number two person in the nation Egypt? He'll be only second to Pharaoh. I wonder if anybody shared the balm with Joseph. Or here's even a better question: what would you do? Would you get some out and share it with this man? What is the balm of Gilead? It's an interesting substance. It's a salve. It's derived from the buds of a plant that, of course, are particular to Gilead. You have to go to Gilead. And the resin that is given off by the buds is high in salicylic acid. Now, you may not know what that means, but you probably know what aspirin means, okay? Salicylic acid. Aspirin's another word for that. And that's exactly what it was. And because of that, because of its healing properties, the balm of Gilead was in high demand, as you might expect, because when you applied it topically to where you were aching, it could cure you of what was ailing you, like arthritis or strained muscles or a sprained back. And after I studied this in preparation for the homily, I went out and bought a jar of it. And I put some on the joints on my hands where I have arthritis because they hurt. And it did work. I will say that. It did work. But it was interesting. The first time I applied it, the missus came in the room and said, "What is that smell?" It was strong, balm, ointment, like the tiger balm, those kinds of things. It's aromatic, that's for sure. Now let's fast forward to 800 years from the time of Joseph to Jeremiah. And once again, we hear about the balm of Gilead. All across the nation at that time, great injustices. The nation had been wounded by great injustice, hate crimes, and greed. It was a difficult time for the nation, and God was discouraged about it. Is why in the world would you do this? And so healing was needed in a big way, and whenever healing is needed in a big way, what does God do? He raises up prophets. He raises up prophets like Jeremiah, who are called to call the people back to justice. And so as God is lamenting over how injustice has wounded the people, through Jeremiah, he asks the question, is there no balm in Gilead? Are all the stores, all the shelves in Gilead, are they sold out? Can't you go to the Amazon and get some? I mean, that's where I got the stuff I got. But in other words, are we all out of justice, of respecting the dignity and rights of all human beings, because all human beings are created in the image of God? We're in His image. That's what gives us our worth and our dignity in life. See, it's important to understand this, that God is big into everybody being treated justly. Now, I grew up as a little boy hearing a lot of racist remarks, and I'm not proud of that. But how happy I was when I heard God's stand against racism. Although, I will say, it took quite a bit of time to undo all of the negative messaging that I'd heard. Now, here's a message for parents. Here's a message for people in authority over other people. Remember that as a figure of authority, what you say has tremendous impact on what those around you are going to believe to be true. That's just the way it is. So your words are very, very important. But what does the Lord say about justice? What does he say? He says, follow justice and justice alone so that you may live in peace. He says, do not show partiality to princes and do not favor the rich over the poor, for all are the works of God's hands. Defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. Here's a great verse that we heard out of Amos this week during the weekday mass. Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And finally, do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, because if you do, you will pervert justice. Pretty powerful words, isn't it? Now, let's fast forward from Jeremiah's time to the 1800s. And it's during this dark period of racism in America comes the great African-American spiritual, There Is a Bomb in Gilead. Now, you got to watch, there's a play on words here. So you got to notice the title of the song. The title of the song is not in the form of a question as Jeremiah posed, where God says, is there any? No, but it's an affirmation where it says there is a bomb in Gilead. And I like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s comments about this song. He says this in a speech. Centuries after Jeremiah, our slave foreparents came along and they too saw the injustice of life and had nothing to look forward to morning after morning. But they did an amazing thing. They looked back across the centuries and took Jeremiah's question mark and straightened it into an exclamation point. Isn't that beautiful? Then they could sing, there is a bomb in Gilead to make the wounded whole. How do some of the words of the song go? Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain, but then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There's that healing. Don't ever feel discouraged, for Jesus is your friend. Tell the love of Jesus and say, he died for all. And now let's fast forward one last time to the hotbed of racism that's running in across our country today. So I ask you, church, what will it be in this instance? Are we going to proclaim, is there a bomb in Gilead? Or are we going to say, there is a bomb in Gilead? Well, I resoundingly believe that there is a bomb in Gilead. Listen once again to what Dr. King had to say. As the days become dark and the nights dreary, realize there is a God, there's that healing bomb who rules above. And so I'm not worried about tomorrow. As I move through Mississippi and Georgia and Alabama, living every day under the threat of death, living under every day under extensive criticisms, the future may look difficult and dim, but I'm not worried because ultimately I have faith in God. And what does he do when he closes? He quotes one of the verses out of that beautiful song, "The Holy Spirit revives my soul again." There's that healing balm. So let me share with you quickly just a few practical things that each one of us can do to create a more just society today. First and foremost, and it may surprise you, but it's the source of healing, maintain a dynamic spiritual life. Maintain a dynamic spiritual life. And that's what I love about the readings today. Oh, Father, healing balm, as we heard in the psalm, teach me to be like you, of whom it is said, is good to all, slow in anger, and rich in kindness. And then in the gospel, O Jesus, healing balm, friend, make known to me the vast riches of how to treat others by your example of meekness and humility. And O Holy Spirit, healing balm, by your constant renewing and reviving of my soul, energize me to do what is right towards all people who are created in your image. That's the most important thing you can do to fight racism. The second thing is to acknowledge that one person can make a lot of difference. I know sometimes that in light of such a large situation, we can feel very small in what we're able to do, but we really shouldn't. I always go back to what St. Teresa of Calcutta had to say. She taught us this. This is powerful. There are all kinds of things that one person can do to affect positive change in the world today if they do it through the power of what? Love. Love. That's the power. And that's, she was always talking about doing little things in great love and just the power that comes from love. So you can make a lot of difference when you do something through love. The third thing is this. Remember what it's like. What does it feel like when you're unjustly treated? I would be willing to bet at one time or another, and probably on multiple times, we can reflect on situations where we feel that we have been unjustly treated in life. Have you got one of those in your mind right now? Well, let me ask you, how does it feel? How does that feel? Well, I would think, as I think in my own life, it feels bad. It's not a good feeling, is it, to when people treat you unfairly and unjustly? Do you wish that on anybody? Well, I hope not. See, reminding ourselves of what it's like when the shoe is on the other foot helps us to refrain from judgmental and derogatory marks, thoughts you might call towards any person or group of persons. I really like what Paul had to say, some more of the essence of our faith. Refrain from obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, he says. And instead, what does he say? Express thanksgiving. Doesn't that sound like a good thought to have? The fourth thing is to advocate for reform. See, institutions always need to be looking at themselves and asking, is there a better way? That's why protests are a good thing when they're done in a peaceful and orderly manner. It's one of our rights as an American citizen, and most importantly, as a child of God. And things can come out of that. Just look at the new executive order that came out of that was signed into place by the president regarding law enforcement reform, or the recent state flag that was retired, and that the new words on that flag that they're designing right now have to have these words on it: in God we trust, in God we trust. We can also advocate for institutional reform by making our voices heard in the upcoming fall election. So many things that we can do. And the final thing is to buy a cemetery plot. Now, what in the world does that have to do with racism? Well, it actually has quite a bit. I read this one recently. See, the point is that if you go out and buy a cemetery plot, you're acknowledging your mortality. The reality is that your days are numbered. You're not going to live forever. You only have so many days, and you don't have time to do anything else but pursue a life of justice. It's just not worth the time. You don't have enough time to do the other stuff. So reflect on your mortality and the importance that you make while you're alive here on this earth right now. I'd like to leave you with a couple of thoughts for reflection. Pick one person this week and generously apply the healing balm of justice in their lives. And the second thing is this. What one thing will you do to make our world a more just society, Christian? Let's do all of our part and put an end to racism. God bless all of you.